This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The United States is reeling in shock over the police killings of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Philando Castile in St. Paul, Minnesota. But what has gotten less attention is how police have cracked down on those who brought us the videos of the killing, in particular around Sterling's death. Chris Ledet, who acquired the video of Sterling being shot point blank in the chest by an officer outside a convenience store and posted the video on social media soon after, Ledet was arrested on suspicion of assault and battery and eventually charged over unpaid traffic tickets. What has happened to Ledet is reminiscent of Ramzi Orta's plight. Orta filmed Eric Garner's killing in New York and was promptly charged with criminal activity. But citizen journalism seems to be the only thing holding the police accountable over violent actions today. My guest is Carlos Miller. He is the author of the Citizen Journalist Photography Handbook, founder of the website photographyisnotacrime.com, which regularly posts videos of wrongdoing by law enforcement. Welcome to the program, Carlos.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So I understand it was your website, among others, that first picked up the story of Alton Sterling's killing after Chris Ledet posted his video, and that helped to multiply the effect of it, and all of a sudden it became a story. And had it not been for the videos that emerged later, a second video emerged as well, we probably wouldn't have read much about Alton Sterling's killing in the newspaper, right? How important are the videos,
correct,
the existence,
correct,
of the videos to the story?
Well, first, I want to make it clear that Chris Ledet did not record the video. He received the video from the young lady who did record the video. He received the video because he has a large social media platform, while the young lady did not. So he offered to put it up. And when he put it up on his Instagram, he put it up on Twitter, he put it up on his Facebook account, then it started going viral. And that's where I picked it up from. And he was arrested 24 hours later. He lives in Georgia, by the way. He's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so he has friends there. He was walking into his job at the military base where he works at as an aviation mechanic, and he was arrested, they told him, on a warrant for assault and battery. Now, he's a 34-year-old man who has no history of violence, and he was very surprised by that. And so when they came in, the police came and took him in, he learned it was for unpaid traffic tickets. And he was not even driving. His license was suspended. But he goes to work in an Uber, and he said he was fine with that. But then they arrested him on an unpaid traffic fine. They threw him in jail for 24 hours. He had to pay the fine the following morning. And they put leg shackles on him. They handcuffed him. They walked him out of his job at the military base, which was very embarrassing for him. And he thought he was going to get fired. And he would have been fired if it was true that he did have a warrant for assault and battery, because he had that job. He's been at that job only a month, and he has to go through a security clearance where you have to fill out a form and you have to admit if you do have any warrants like that. But when they learned it was only for unpaid traffic tickets, they said, no, you're not going to get fired. You're fine. But it does show you what happens when you do record police. And in the case of also up in with Castile up in Minnesota, well, they took her phone, and they still have her phone, as far as I know, but she was live streaming. So that video was able to come out anyway.
And I want to talk about what Lavish Reynolds, Philando Castile's girlfriend, did. But just to stay on the Alton Sterling killing for a moment, Chris Ledet, who publicized the video of the killing, basically arrested. But then there was also another video by the convenience store owner outside which the killing took place, an Arab-American man named Abdullah Muflahi, who also videotaped it. And he's currently launched a lawsuit against the police actions because apparently they came and I suppose they thought they might be able to arrest him. They detained him in the end for 4 hours. For what reason is not clear. And they confiscated his video without a warrant. Do you see what happened to him as part of a pattern then around Alton Sterling's police killing?
Well, of course. I mean, they knew they had done wrong, so they went into a store without a warrant. They seized all her surveillance videos. They put him in the back of a patrol car for 4 hours. After seizing his cell phone, they took him down to the station for another 2 hours. And they finally released him, and they released him with his phone, which is very, very surprising. I'm surprised by that. But they haven't released a surveillance video. And just because they released him with his video, well, thankfully he was able to post it for the world to see. Now he's suing them because they have no right to go into a store and take the surveillance video. They had no grounds to put him in the back of a police car with handcuffs. He did nothing wrong. All he was doing was observing. All he was doing was recording, which is his First Amendment right. And they have no grounds, which is why they're going to end up paying. I'm sure they're going to end up paying for that, but they don't care because they're doing what they're doing is covering for themselves and covering for killing this man. And also, there's claiming that they accosted this man, Alton Sterling, because they had received a 911 call that he was waving a gun or brandishing a gun, but they have not released that 911 call. And if you look at the video, you see they did not realize he had a gun until they had him down on the ground. And then one cop yells out, "Gun, gun," and the other cop pulls out his gun and shoots him. Now, knowing how police work, if they knew he had a gun or they suspected that he had a gun, they wouldn't have wrestled him to the ground. They would have pointed their guns and they would have told him, "Lie down on the ground, lie down on your face." Then they would have searched him. That's how cops operate. So now, and they're not releasing the 911 call. So I'm thinking they were only harassing him for selling CDs, which he was doing with the owner's permission in front of the store. They were friends. So they were harassing him for trying to make a living for selling CDs, and they ended up killing him, just like they did to Eric Garner up in New York. So he was selling cigarettes.
Right. So in many ways, this is what we see with the police action is a cracking down on people participating in the underground economy because they can't get by. A lot of folks, and I understand Alton Sterling wasn't able to get a job. He had a prior felony. Let's talk about how the police in the Alton Sterling case claimed that their body cameras, which is the police solution to holding them accountable, their body cameras fell off or failed or something to that effect, leaving the only record of what happened from citizen journalists, right?
Well, yeah, and even if they did fall off during the struggle, they should have been on while they're approaching him to see what started the struggle, and they should be able to release that. But they're not releasing that. They're also not releasing their dash cam videos from the cars. So they're not being very transparent. And now what they're doing is they're cracking down on protesters with full military gear. They're just arresting people for holding up signs. They're actually going into people's private property and arresting them with the people are on the private property with the owner's permission, just like Alton Sterling was selling CDs with the owner's permission. But they don't care. They're going to do what they want. They're going to do what they can. And they obviously can get away with it because they are getting away with it. And we hope they don't get away with it. We hope these two cops don't get away with it because they murdered him. I mean,
Let's
it's
talk
very clear.
about what Lavish Reynolds did. She was with Philando Castile. This was a case in St. Paul, Minnesota. Her young daughter was in the back of the car when she and her boyfriend were stopped by police, and she had the just incredible presence of mind to begin videotaping, not just videotaping, but starting a Facebook Live feed, which meant that what was happening was being broadcast live to all of her followers and then automatically archived on Facebook, and the police couldn't even control it. This was the aftermath of the shooting. So her boyfriend lay bleeding. How clever and important and powerful was what Diamond Reynolds did, Lavish Reynolds did?
Yes, I mean she was very calm, she was very cool, she was very collected, she was very focused on what happened. She was telling the viewers exactly what took place while the cop was sitting there pointing his gun, freaking out. The cop was in a panic, and she was just there explaining what happened, and the cop was never denying anything. All the cop was saying is, "I told you not to reach, I told you not to reach." But this guy, he had a legal permit, and that's been confirmed. He had They're saying initially they were saying he had a broken taillight, but that's not true because we saw photos of that car afterwards at nighttime. Both taillights were on. Now they're saying, well, we should have heard audio from the 911, or the not the 911 call, the audio to dispatch, where he was saying, well, this guy has a wide nose. He spotted that apparently driving, and that's why he pulled him over. A wide nose. Well, that's racial profiling. I mean, come on. It's very obvious. So he pulled him over because he was a black man, and then he shot him because he was a fear for his life because this black man owned a gun and he was legally carrying a gun, and which we are entitled to do in this country, and he had a permit to do so. And he told, the man told the officer he had a gun just to let him know, trying to do the right thing, which he's not actually legally required to do. He does have no legal obligation to tell the officer that he's carrying a gun if he's carrying it legally. And he did. And he ended up dying. He ended up dead. And now they're covering it up. They took her phone and they didn't realize she was live streaming. So we still saw the truth.
Right, and she of course was arrested herself, and might have remained that way, depending upon what her particular situation was. We talked about Eric Garner's killing and the young man Ramzi Orta, who had videotaped that brutal killing by police, which became, along with the killing of Mike Brown, the really galvanizing moment in the movement for Black Lives a couple of years ago. What has become of Ramzi Orta? We know that he was essentially arrested on some sort of trumped up charges. He has maintained that he's being politically persecuted for daring to hold police accountable through his videotaping. Do you know what his status is currently?
Yes, he's still free. He's not going to jail until October. We have reporters reaching out to him. We're going to end up interviewing him, and he's being charged with gun charges, drug charges, all these things. And I'm not going to say he's innocent or guilty. I'm not sure what the status is, but I do know they came after him because of he recorded the Eric Garner video. If he was selling drugs, as they say, if he didn't have a gun, as they say, he would not have been arrested if he had not been recording that video, because they would have not known who he was. But what they did was, let's go after this guy. He made us look bad. Let's retaliate against him. And that's what they did.
So
And they just kept their eyes on him, and they got him.
he came into their radar because he was videotaping, Eric Garner's killing, and that's basically what even brought him to their notice to begin with. So let's talk about how the police actions in the cases of Eric Garner's killing, Alton Sterling's killing, etc., are designed to discourage citizen journalism. And if so, what does that do for us? I mean, should we be worried when we see a police officer doing something clearly unethical or illegal, and we want to pull out our vi phone to videotape it, and we think, what if this is going to get me in trouble? Just the act of videotaping this.
Well, there's always that risk. I've been arrested 3 times for taking pictures of police, and there's always that risk. But we have to remain strong. We cannot just bow down. We cannot just be soft and allow them to win, because we have the numbers, and now we have the technology, and this technology is getting better every day. Now we have the Facebook live streaming, which is very easy to use. Anybody can use it. Anybody with a smartphone can. All you have to do is hit record, and that's it, and you're live streaming. So, and they are afraid of that. So they're trying to crack down, and that's exactly what they're doing. But they're not going to win, because in the case of Baton Rouge with Alton Sterling, well, there was 2 people recording. They got one guy. They raided his store, but there was somebody else who pulled away who also was recording from behind the window. And I obviously they didn't realize that, and that's what got out to Chris Ledé, and that's what he ended up posting. So they were trying to control. They're trying to control the information, but they can't. And they're unable to, and they're not going to be able to, because the more people that see what's going on, the more people are educated, the more people are angry. You have a lot of angry people in this country right now, and they're not going to back down, and they're going to keep recording, because there's no law against it, and there's no violence with it. When you're holding up a phone and you're recording, we're not the ones committing the violence. They are the ones that are committing the violence. We're just capturing the truth. In the end, the truth will win. So if people are intimidated, if people are scared, they don't want to do it, that's fine. They should step aside and let the people who are not afraid to capture the truth, because there's a lot more people out there who are not afraid.
So, Carlos, photographing the police is not considered a crime anywhere in the country. It's legal, right? It's protected by your First Amendment rights.
Of course,
So,
it's
as
yes.
long as you're
I mean,
not
there's certain
interfering
exceptions
with the
to.
police.
Look, if you're in public and the person has no expectation of privacy, and as long as you're not physically interfering, as long as you're not standing in the street blocking traffic, as long as you're not breaking any of the law, then you have the right to record police.
And
And you should do it.
how common is it? I mean, we talked about Ramsey Orta, we talked about Chris Ledé being targeted for doing what they did, as well as Abdullah Muflahi. But is that unusual or is it pretty routine? You mentioned you've been arrested 3 times just for photographing or filming the police. Is it fairly routine around the country that you make yourself a target, or that police try to go after you when you film them? And if so, are there lawyers? Has the ACLU taken up this issue to try to protect citizen journalism, to hold police accountable?
Well, the ACLU has, and it's gotten better. I mean, a few years ago, when I first started the website, people were getting arrested for recording every single day. So now the cops are aware that we have the right to record, and they're allowing people to record. You still have these instances, like you have in these cases we talked about, where when they do something really bad, like killing somebody, well, they're going to come after the guy with the camera. A lot of times they just say, well, they just whatever, they're going to let the guy record. So now we're seeing what we're seeing. Now we're seeing how police act, how they've always been acting. And, it's gotten to the point where they don't even care, where they're just beating people up on camera. They don't care. They're saying, you can record all you want, but we're going to beat you up anyway. They're still going to do their thing because they know they can get away with it. They're not going to get fired. They're not going to get arrested. They're not going to lose their job. They're going to keep getting paid. They're going to get promoted, as a matter of fact. This is what we see. They get promoted. And even if we end up suing, it's the taxpayers that pay. They're not paying out of their pocket. So, and they're making these laws stronger to protect cops. Now you have laws in Louisiana, ironically enough, the Blue Lives Matter bill, where they give cops protective status. They're like, well, if someone hurts you, then you're a victim. You're a hate crime victim, which, these cops are, they don't need any more protection. They have all they already have protection by the law. They already have all these guns and all these weapons. They can already kill you legally. And now they're claiming hate crime status. Well, what about Alton Sterling? He's in Louisiana. Well, I mean, how come he doesn't get hate crime status? He was picked on. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, there's still no evidence that he brandished a gun at anybody. Who is this anonymous homeless guy that called 911? We haven't heard that call. We don't know who he is. And why haven't they produced that? No, he is the victim in this case. And they turned him into a criminal and they killed him. And we need justice. That's what's happening right now in Baton Rouge, as we speak. People are protesting, and these cops are meeting them with force, with their armored cars. And people are holding up signs that say love on the signs, and they're putting them in chokeholds. That's what's happening in Baton Rouge right now. And that's what the world needs to see.
Well, Carlos, give out a website where people can read your journalism around this issue.
Photographyisnotacrime.com.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you so much and best of luck to you.
Thank you for having me on.
Carlos Miller is the author of the Citizen Journalist Photography Handbook. Again, that website, photographyisnotacrime.com. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.